Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Till at 10 continues our number two. We've got our news quiz for tickets to go see Stevie Wonder, one of the superstars out there. I mean, he's right there with the Beatles, 21st annual House of Toys benefit concert with Dave Matthews, Tony Bennett, Pharrell Williams. I'll tell you when to call for that. Also, we are brought to you by Larry Miller and Sit and Sleep. Of course, it'll be anyone's advertised price or your mattress is free. Joining us now, Mr. Jack Abramoff, who is a former lobbyist, producer, author of Capital Punishment, The Hard Truth About Washington Corruption from America's Most Notorious Lobbyists. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Peter.
So I've been dying to get, waiting to get you on because I wanted to know what your take is on Trump officially recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. My questions are this. Why now? You had 70 years of this and you had previous administrations who didn't make that statement. And it looks like, to the Palestinians, it's unilateral. What did they get from Israel in return for this, number one? Number two, it's basically telling a lot of Muslim countries, forget it, what's going to happen with the peace process now? It looks like it's unilateral, and because of his son-in-law's relationship with Netanyahu, he's honoring this pledge. At the same time, Jack, I'm wondering, because I'm trying to scratch the surface here and go deeper, is there a bigger policy issue that the president and his administration have lined up with the Saudis, who are going to help and throw in with Israel, because they have a common enemy in Iran, and actually, this is part of a bigger policy that this administration is putting into place. It's confusing to me why this was so important. I don't know that anybody in his base was saying we need employment and we need Jerusalem to be recognized.
Well, I think, first of all, Peter, there are plenty of people, particularly among the religious Christians, and sadly not among as many of the Jewish community in America, but among the base of Trump, who are saying that absolutely he should move this embassy. First of all, the reality is that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel.
Right.
The American presidents, every one of them, since this became an issue after Israel retook Jerusalem in 67, American presidents, all of them, both parties, have campaigned about moving the embassy. And then once they become president, they avail themselves recently of the exemption that they can provide themselves by law, or they just didn't do it. So Trump, in a certain respect, is remarkable, because here is the guy who everybody thought was wouldn't follow through on things he said, continually following through on his campaign promises, and this was one of them.
But does this make sense? But is it from our national security standpoint, and from the fact that it looks like the administration, which is already perceived to be really biased in favor of Israel and being their needs over Palestinians, what does this accomplish in a bigger way? Do you think there's a policy?
I think it accomplishes something very significant.
Okay.
Which is that, number one, I think it shows things on a personal level with Trump. I think it shows something on a national level for the United States. The United States has gone along with the European foisted and the Muslim League foisted canard that somehow Jerusalem is a card to be played in peace negotiations. Donald Trump has said that the reality is this is the capital of Israel. Okay, now if Israel decides to permit the Palestinians also to have a capital in the same city, that's, maybe that'll happen, maybe it won't. But America is going to stop playing this game of pretending that this isn't the capital of Israel. It is the capital of
Israel. Okay, but what are
the
ramifications?
Israel knows that. Now, in terms of America, what it says is basically that America's not, again, what I'm saying is, and the reason this is important, America's not going to keep playing along with these false diplomatic and foreign policy canards. Now, that's important on a lot of fronts, by the way. There are a lot of people that I actually spoke to today who are involved in other areas of the world, some of them, by the way, in the Middle East, and some of them in South Asia, and some of them out in the Asia-Pacific area, who are looking at this as an extremely important move that Trump made, because what he's saying is, I'm not going to be listening to the State Department bureaucrats and the others in the foreign policy community in America. I'm going to set my own policy. And that opens up a lot of possibilities, some of which perhaps we'll get into discussing, but it opens up a very different foreign policy approach. So from Trump's point of view, as a person, he's basically saying, I made a promise, I'm keeping my promise. B, I recognize the fact that Israel is not the Palestinians. The Palestinians stood on their home outside their houses cheering when bombs went off, when the planes hit the buildings. The Israelis are our allies. I'm going to recognize people who are our allies, and treat them as our allies, and treat them as our enemies. So therefore, I don't have to give the Palestinians this canard that this is your capital. It is not. And in terms of the world, he's saying to the world, I do not go along with the foreign policy nonsense that you've been hearing from America for 40 years.
But what are, Jack, so what are the repercussions then? If France, Germany, a lot of our allies caution him against this, if a lot of the Arab countries are saying this is not something that we want, right. If you have Iraqi clerics saying this is now open war on Islam.
It's not clear, Peter. It's not clear that a lot of the Middle East countries with whom he is dealing with a new relationship, A, obviously they're going to make a public statement, but it's not clear at all, based at least on what I've been hearing today, that there's been vociferous opposition to this.
Well, so that's okay. So the other part of that is, the other part of that is, have they, because I know that Jared Kushner, we all know, has been meeting with the Saudi prince who's trying to change that region, try and impact that region in a big way. He's taken on a huge undertaking what he's done. Mm-hmm. But does this kind of say there is a bigger foreign policy issue going on that was prepared, that this wasn't just out of nowhere, that the ducks are kind of lined up in a row and the administration has done some due diligence and that Saudi Arabia will help with Israel because, as I said before, because of the common enemy of Iran? Is there a bigger piece of the pie here? Because everything I'm reading, everything I'm hearing saying, well, this puts a stake in it. There will be no peace movement now because it's just driven a wedge.
First of all, this goal of this so-called peace movement, the so-called peace where Palestinians get more territory so they can send missiles and bombs to Israel, Trump doesn't buy into that at all. He didn't really care about that. Okay, nor, by the way, should he. In terms of having cooperative neighborly relations, which is what we should be hoping the Israelis and Palestinians have, economic cooperation, peace on the ground, et cetera, like that, that is not built by going along with the canard of Jerusalem is not Israel's capital. So I think, again, as part of it, that is definitely the case. Now, is it part of a bigger political shift in the Middle East? Probably. It's not the only thing we've seen. We are seeing not only the Saudis, by the way, but keep in mind the Bahrainis, the United Arab Emirates, and the Qataris, who are on the opposite side of that group, are all vying for Trump's favor and are all working overtime to work within the Trump paradox. So that's why I feel, and even in Jordan's king, who has come out and been very nervous about this, obviously he has more Palestinians in his country than he does Jordanians, even he is not exactly full steam ahead criticizing this thing in a way that I think is unsettling Washington. So I think in a certain respect for Trump, this is a masterful move because one, you basically told the entire world all of the foreign policy of the past is gone, which is what he wants anyway. Number two, all of the bureaucrats sitting in the State Department, who, by the way, Tillerson has been attacking and removing quietly while nobody's watching, Trump is remaking America's foreign policy in ways that are far more reaching than anybody, I think, realizes. And this is a symptom of that remake.
So is Tillerson, talking to Jack Abramoff, is Tillerson on board with this?
I don't see why he wouldn't be. I mean, based on what Tillerson is doing in the State Department, which, by the way, I speak to friends, I actually believe them. I have a lot of bureaucratic friends in the State Department, people have been there for years who hate Trump, hate Tillerson, hate what's going on. They are telling me virtually weekly of the scores of State Department foreign policy professional service folks who are being moved out.
Is this a ban? Okay, so is this a Bannon? Is this a Bannon influence thing? Who's got Trump's ear?
It's not just Bannon. People look at these things and say, "Oh, it's Bannon." It's not, this is Trump. This is what Trump wants to do. And by the way, before Bannon was part of his campaign, he was talking about this.
Right, let's speak because of time. Let's talk about Bannon for a minute. So Bannon is out there campaigning for Moore, and he is taking on Romney and talking about his military service, which I don't know that's the smartest thing to do. Nevertheless, he's there going deep for Bannon. We see now that a lot of senators have come out and said Al Franken has to step down, and Al Franken's going to make a statement tomorrow. So he steps down tomorrow, I'm guessing, and now the Democrats go, great. So Franken's out because of what he did, allegations, and what he admitted to doing. You got Conyers, who's left. But Roy Moore's coming in with these allegations, so those people we should not believe, but we should only believe people who impact our side of the aisle. So how's that going to play out, and does this help? Does this help? Also, going after the religion, going after, you're talking about Orrin Hatch in Utah, You're also talking about the election coming up, other elections coming up. Why would you go after the Mormon thing and say he never served and attack that? And what line is Bannon trying to draw here?
I don't know. I don't think Bannon is on the inside at this point, and I don't think you can conflate Bannon's actions with Trump anymore, and particularly regarding Orrin Hatch. I think if Donald Trump had to name a senator he loves the most, it's going to be Orrin Hatch. Orrin Hatch has been there for him straight through. He wants Hatch to run again because he doesn't want to lose Hatch. Now, Hatch is obviously a septuagenarian, or I'm sorry, an octogenarian at this point. He's in his 80s, so it's not clear whether he will run. But I don't think Bannon and Trump are on the same page on this thing in terms of attacking Orrin Hatch or attacking Mormons or attacking whatever. That's not what Trump is about right now. And I think that the media tends to look at Bannon and think he's still in the White House. He's not.
So you don't think he's acting as a surrogate in any way and checking in with Trump and informing him of what he's doing?
Not on this stuff, no. I don't think. Look, I don't know that he's not communicating with Trump. But there's one thing for him to say, hey, here's what I'm doing. And there's another thing for him Trump to be saying, hey, do this. I don't think that's going on at all. And I don't frankly think that anything that relates to attacking Mormons or attacking Utah or attacking, certainly not Orrin Hatch, is reflective of where Donald Trump is at right now.
And well, right now his approval ratings are down at the bottom. However, his endorsement of Moore happens to look like it's going to energize that campaign. Was it a smart thing for him to throw in behind Moore, or did he wait to know that he's going to win? And then how are they going to impact that when he's in the Senate? Are they really going to then say, oh, well, the Alabama's, your vote didn't matter. He's in here
well,
now.
You got to look at this in two pieces. Number one is the election. Okay. And I don't think it's a question of Trump was waiting to see how, you know, what people would think of him. He doesn't act like that. He doesn't care what people
think.
Well,
but he doesn't want to be in a losing. Oh, are you kidding me?
Not really, because he's going in against Roy Moore in the primary. All right, which is something he consciously did, even though.
And then he was angry because his candidate.
He was unhappy, but the fact is he did it, knowing going in that Moore was probably going to win the primary. He still did it. All right, but notwithstanding that, right now the Republican, I think the RNC, this is seen, and really across the board, you have two kinds of Republicans right now on this. One, the ones who wish that Moore would get hit by a bus, but they want him to get hit by a bus the day after the election.
Right.
They don't want to lose this seat to the Democrats for 6 years in Alabama, okay? Because if you get a Democrat in there, he's going to
So how do you play this out? Okay.
Liberal voting. Well, you play it out by basically the way they are playing it out, which is saying that winning the seat is the most important thing for them. And by the way, not all Republicans agree with this, but I think you're seeing more and more people coming on board with this idea that winning the seat is key. Now, once he wins the seat, what's going to happen then is anybody's guess. Because taking him out of the Senate, the Democrats will grouse about him, but they won't be there with the votes that are needed. I think it's 2/3 to remove a senator. They're certainly going to do that. Why would they? You know, same way that Republicans want Hillary to run again. You know, you want your worst face, your opposition to have the worst face. And Roy Moore is not going to be a good face for them.
No kidding.
But nevertheless, he'll be a vote. He'll be a Republican vote. And I don't know that anybody's really thinking strategically what happens next. They want to see what happens in the election first. And it looks like right now Moore has the trend is with Moore, and he may win this thing.
Well, it depends on, again, polling in this kind of race, I'm always questioning, because you never know if people will admit that they're voting for him. It may be a bigger turnout than we expect. Also, other people, minorities and women, may turn out in droves and say, no, this is not happening. So it's hard with this kind of election to get accurate polling. And speaking of that, what's going to happen with getting enough members to get on board with the tax plan and move it forward in the right way? Because you're starting to hear grumbling about accommodating certain senators, and I'm sure the lobbyists have been in there in a big way.
Yeah, the lobbyists are there a little bit, but the bigger problem is exactly as you said, Peter, accommodating certain senators. So the conference is going to be very interesting, what they come back with, because don't forget, in the House, they lost 13 votes. They only have a majority of, 22, 23, something like that. So they lost 13 votes in the House version of this bill. So by the time you dilute it from a conservative point of view a little bit more from the Senate, the question is, are they going to be able to pass this thing on the House side? Forget about the Senate side. Are they going to have something that can pass the House side? And the converse, of course, are they going to do so much to it to keep the House okay that you lose Susan Collins and you lose people like that?
Right, right.
So I don't think they're through this yet. It's amazing how far they've gotten it. To be honest with you, I didn't predict they'd get this far. And I'm impressed that they have gotten this far, but they aren't out of the woods yet. This thing is going to get more difficult.
No kidding. And what about the government shutdown? There are problems with that, and Trump is actually saying it could happen.
Yeah, I think that's more likely to not happen, by the way, based on everything I'm hearing. They have a lot of paths to sort of sort that out more than people realize. They're having a government shutdown. Is not, in my view, I think that's going to be easy. They're going to either wind up with some compromise, which, by the way, they had in place before the whole Schumer-Pelosi White House visit brouhaha, but they're going to have some sort of top-line numbers in place and be able to figure it out in conference, but there are certain sort of hot-button issues in conference. So far, this leadership on the House and in the Senate has sort of mitigated toward removing these kind of controversial things so they don't have to worry about them and somehow bludgeoning their conservatives to stay in line.
I got
whether
you.
That happens or not, I don't know.
It's going to be fascinating, too, with the Franken, I'm guessing, resignation tomorrow with the Moore, all of the controversy around Moore. It's fascinating that I think the next step would be, hey, everybody who paid an accuser, with our tax dollars, shouldn't you come forward and resign at this point? And are they going to go that deep? You know these politicians. Are they going to be that honest about it and say, we should be totally transparent? You're right. We took a lot of money to settle these things. Anybody who's been accused and settled, we should know who they are and step down also, if that's the new normal.
Well, the trend of Washington, and I know this because I was one of the sacrificial lambs, so to speak, is to you don't sacrifice the entire lamb population. You sacrifice a few lambs. And so I think you'll probably see some folks, maybe this fellow Farenthold, who's already being redistricted out anyway in Texas. But you'll see some folks probably go at them. And by the way, the Democrats, what's interesting is the turn against Franken. I think some of that discussion was they want to clean themselves up as much as they can.
Of course.
Because they're expecting two things. One, the possibility that if they win the House or something that they'll make a run at Trump, which I think would be a disaster for them. But number two, that there are going to be some other major Democrats, what I'm hearing, who are outed as sexual harassers. And they better not have too big a cadre of them hanging around, and they better start setting down the motions of what's going to happen if you're one of these guys. So you're hearing a lot of stuff right now, a lot of speculation. Look, it's Washington, D.C. Like Hollywood, these aren't the only sexual harassment.
Yeah, I would guess. I would guess. Yeah, no kidding. And then, by the way, what do you do with the interns and pages when Moore gets in? All right. Jack, thank you. Former lobbyist, producer.
They can work for Clinton. They can work for Clinton.
There you go. Or only people over 50 get to work for Roy. Senior citizens help Roy Moore. Wow. What world are we in? Jack Abramoff, former lobbyist, producer, author of Capital Punishment, The Hard Truth About Washington Corruption from America's Most Notorious Lobbyists. Abramoff.com is the website. And at Jack Abramoff, the Twitter. Jack, thanks. Lots to discuss, man. Take it easy. And we'll see what's happening with the move. I'm seeing CNN, Abbas is saying, Palestinian Authority, Trump's move will lead us into wars that will never end. So that's the statement there. Jack put it out as a different statement saying, no, none of that's going to happen. You watch that this was the right move. Time will tell, or maybe not too much time. Talk Radio 790 KABC, Peter Tilden at 10 continues after this. Talk Radio 790 KABC, Peter Tilden at 10 continues. Hour number two, Stevie Wonder. You want to go see him in concert, along with Dave Matthews, Tony Bennett, Pharrell Williams. I'm going to tell you to call in just a moment. Let's go to Lynette. We got a minute here. Lynette, you're on Talk Radio 790 KABC. What do you want to say?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have always said that our foreign policy stinks, and now it really stinks. This military-industrial complex that we have is on steroids under Trump. And if we look at what Trump did with the Saudis, who is a state-sponsored terrorist, you know, he's going over there kissing up to them. But at the same time, he's got this flight ban against the Muslims, you know.
Well, it's going to be
interesting. Saudis are nowhere on that.
It's going to be interesting. Well, it is. The Saudis are not on the flight ban, which is interesting. And a judge just ruled that it was legal to go ahead at this point with the ban, the travel ban. So, and the Saudis aren't there. And the son is, Jared Kushner's son-in-law, who Trump, I guess, looks at as a son, is negotiating with the Saudis in a big way. And the Saudis and Israel now are closer than ever because of their joint enemy, which is Iran. So the face of the Middle East is changing, and you heard Jack Abramoff. Jack Abramoff said that this is not necessarily a stupid plan, what the president just did here with Israel and Jerusalem. All right, Talk Radio 790 KBC. Coming up, we're going to check on the fires that are affecting everybody. We're going to do the news quiz in just a couple of minutes. I'll tell you when to call. But first, we'll do the news here. Talk Radio 790 KBC.
KABC News is live and local at 11:30. I'm Jeff Whittle, and it's still a plenty of wildfire coverage to update you on today. That Skirball fire, which erupted near the Getty Center around 4 o'clock this morning, has charred 150 acres at last report. It's 0% contained, and L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti says a number of homes have been destroyed in the Bel Air area.
We have four structures that we can confirm have been destroyed, four homes, as many is six. There may be two others. That's in Moraga and some of the streets right next to that as well in the early parts, but nothing since those early structures were destroyed.
Mandatory evacuations ordered for all residents between Mulholland Drive on the north, Sunset on the south, Roscoe Mare Road on the east, and the 405 freeway to the west. The Creek Fire, which erupted early yesterday in Sylmar, has charred 11,000 acres, destroyed about 30 homes. Containment still at 0%. U.S. Forest Service spokesman Nathan Judy tells NBC4 News.
Homes still are threatened. You know, the fire's not out yet. You're seeing a lot of smoke coming up off this fire, and we also have the fire south of the 210 freeway where there are homes.
Now, that's the Shadow Hills area. Over 100,000 residents were ordered to evacuate. Seven firefighters have been injured battling the creek blaze. Most of those injuries are minor. The Rye Fire in Santa Clarita has now burnt 7,000 acres. It's only 5% contained, but no structures have been lost. About 5,000 residents living in 1,300 homes have been evacuated in the Santa Clarita Valley. And six women filed a federal lawsuit against Harvey Weinstein today in Manhattan, seeking to represent a class of women who claim they were assaulted by the movie mogul. The suit claims Weinstein and the companies he worked with colluded to conceal his widespread sexual harassment and assaults, and that amounted to civil racketeering. A lawyer for Weinstein's declined comment. Talk Radio 790 KABC Sports. Pacific Division leading L.A. Kings skated by Minnesota 5-2 for their fifth straight victory. The Ducks lost to second-place Golden Knights 4-3 in a shootout in Vegas last night. Clippers hope to snap a three-game losing streak when they host Minnesota tonight, while the Lakers visit Philadelphia tomorrow afternoon. That's sports on the home of the L.A. Kings, 790 KABC. Traffic, a market check, weather, and more Tilden at 10 next. KABC News Time, 11:33.
Talk Radio 790 KABC, Peter Tilden at 10 continues hour number two. I would call right now, 800-222-5222 if you want to go see Stevie Wonder. It's his 21st annual House Full of Toys benefit concert. He's going to play Intervision, some of his biggest albums, and also he'll be joined by Dave Matthews, Tony Bennett, Pharrell Williams, and many other special guests. So call now, 800-222-5222, and we're going to do the news quiz in just several moments. But first, I want to check in with James Rojas, KBC News reporter, about what's happening with all the fires that are out there and get an update. Good morning, James.
Good morning, Peter. Yeah, right now I'm here in Shadow Hills in between Tahunga, Soland, and Pacoima, just south of the 210 freeway. And on this block that I'm on right now, I'm counting at least four homes that have been damaged or are a complete loss. And there's this actually one piece of property right here on the corner that's literally the only two things left standing are the chimney and a gun safe. It's a complete loss and it's devastating for the whole community. And there's quite a bit of activity happening here right now as homeowners are coming back to the neighborhood to see if their homes are still here. And right now one family just pulled up to this home. And fortunately, for their home over here, it is safe, but the four cars in their driveway are completely charred.
This is going to be incredible. And what's the wind like out there at this point?
Oh, the wind, fortunately, the winds today are not as bad as we saw yesterday, but that can change at any moment. However, because of the calmer weather, the fire hasn't really grown much. It's still lingering around 11,000 acres, only grown about 300 since last night. And but fire officials say, you know, that number, that 30 count of structures destroyed, they're expecting to see that number go up as they go around and do damage reconnaissance, really.
And they got issues. They're trying to figure out how to allocate manpower, because you got that, you got 405, the Creek Fire, the Thomas Fire. I mean, you got so much going on. And every day we got these little fires just from embers that are jumping. that pop up, and they try and get them out as quickly as they can. But again, it's a problem with all of the manpower and how to delegate and how to figure out where to put people as far as these things. I know the wind is expected to kick up again later today and into tomorrow.
Yeah, one of the biggest resources that all of these fire agencies are fighting for is air support, helicopters, and fixed wing aircraft like the Super Scooper. And yesterday, many of the fixed wing aircraft, the planes, could not fly around here just because the winds were so strong and hectic that the pilots, they didn't feel comfortable. However, we are hearing that helicopters and the fixed wing aircraft are flying today with little problems. But then again, that begs the question of which fires get those resources. And I know the Santa Clarita fire, the Rye fire, that's about 7,000 acres, only 5% contained. And so, yeah, there are a lot of fires that are not only active right now, but are predicted to start really at any moment.
A lot of other states helping us out, and are we bringing in firefighters from other states at this point?
Oh, definitely. Not only has the city and county of L.A. declared a state of emergency, but also Governor Brown declared a state of emergency. And so not only are we getting resources from up and down the state, but also around the state. So those resources are really coming in this morning. And it's really something that, you know, talking to these firefighters over here, they say it's December. We shouldn't really be experiencing this amount of wildfires, but because we had low rainfall and just because of all the dry conditions, really, that really year round it's fire season now.
And also, the last time we had Santa Ana winds that were like this multiple days was about 10 years ago, 2007. So they've been unlucky with these gusts, which are going up to 70 miles per hour, I understand, last night, which is impossible. And you got to give these guys credit. They work such insanely long shifts. And again, yesterday, I mean, I'm all the way on the west, and I couldn't breathe because of smoke there. You can imagine being in it, what it's like fighting these fires, racing into this thing with all that gear and trying to at least control these. And a lot of them, like you said, are minimally contained at this point. So we wish them a lot of luck putting this out today. And also the 405 fire is frightening because it's in such a dense area and because of the traffic that it's messing with as far as people who have to take alternate routes. So the city is in an incredible state right now because of the major highways that are concerned.
Oh, definitely. And we're not expecting for the wind to really stop until Friday. And so we still have today, tomorrow, and Friday to see if any other fires pop up. Because again, even though it may be calm right now, there is still a breeze. Nothing compared to yesterday, but forecasters say, you know, don't expect that to stay this way. It can change at any moment.
Well, thanks, James. James Rojas, KBC News reporter, will keep us posted all day throughout the day. And thanks for the updates. James, take care, be safe. And everybody else, like I said, keep it here. We'll give you the updates and, of course, help you with your traffic, et cetera, because this is going to be a long haul for a while with the winds being what they are. We're going to take a brief break. When we come back, all the lines are lit at this point. Sorry if you can't get through. They're all tied up for the news quiz, and we will do that next here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tillman at 10 continues hour number 2. Let's get right into the news quiz. Every line is lit, and we will go to Stacy in Century City. Hi, Stacy.
Hey, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing well. You ready to do this?
I am.
All right, so multiple choice, true or false. You listen carefully, and you could be going to see Stevie Wonder. What an incredible artist. So here we go. Donald Trump announced today that the U.S. government will formally recognize what as the capital of Israel? A, Tel Aviv. B, Jerusalem. C, Miami, and specifically Del Boca Vista. Is it A, B, or C?
It's B, but do you know why old Jews go to Miami to retire?
You tell me why.
Because it's in the Torah.
Okay. All righty then. Russian President Vladimir Putin announced today that A, he will run for President of the United States in 2020. B, he will run for re-election in Russia. Or C, he's a better golfer than Donald Trump. Is it A, B, or C?
Well, I think it's all of the above, but I'll go with B.
Yeah, President Vladimir Putin, who's ruled Russia for 18 years, announced he'll seek a new 6-year term in March. Wonder if he'll win. The Constitution, I think he's got a shot.
It'll be a nail-biter.
Constitutional limits means it's likely to be his last. At the peak of his power at home and abroad, Putin is expected to win in a landslide on March 18th, so I'm guessing that will happen. Walmart officially changed their corporate name from Walmart Stores, Inc. to A, Wally World, B, Walton's Five and Dime, or C, Walmart, Inc. Is it A, B, or C?
C.
After 47 years known as Walmart Stores, the world's largest company, said today it's dropping stores from its name in a nod to how important the e-commerce is to the business as it continues to compete with who? Amazon. The change goes into effect on February the 1st. Who got loose during a recent performance of a Broadway revival of the musical Cats and tried to chase a character? Was it A, a giant rat, B, a service dog, or C, an amorous tiger from a neighboring theater's Ringling Brothers Expanse show? Was it A, B, or C?
B.
Page Six reports a source tells him that at a recent performance, a service dog ran away from its owner during the opening number and tried to chase the character of Bombolurina. An usher grabbed the dog quickly and returned him before he could fully disrupt the musical. A spokesperson for Cats said, in the storied history of Cats, this is the first time one of the actual cats was involved in an incident with a dog. A proposed new NASA spacesuit may feature what? A, lasers for fighting villainous aliens bent on enslaving human mankind. B, a coffee dispenser. Or C, an automated take-me-home button. Is it A, B, or C? Yes, it's a patent for a spacesuit self-return system to ensure spacewalking astronauts are safe. I like the Joe put down a coffee dispenser, although where would it dispense? Chinese scientists have published a new study that says that eating a small amount of cheese every day may what? A, raise your cholesterol significantly. B, reduce your risk of heart disease and stroke. Or C, make you want to eat a large amount of cheese melted over some delicious tortilla chips, maybe with some sour cream, some salsa, margarita. Is it A, B, or C?
I guess it's A.
No, it's I said that. I baited you. I said it wrong, actually.
You did.
It's to reduce your risk of heart disease and stroke. And that was my fault, so you got that right. And you're going to go see Stevie Wonder. Stay on the line.
Oh, Dino, thank you, Peter. Thank
Dino,
you.
Dino will get you tickets and eat some cheese because it's apparently good for you. All right. Talk Radio 790 KBC coming up. In just a moment, we'll talk to Dr. Drew.